friend approach me and ask if I had heard of something called The Secret. She said that some of her friends were really excited about it and were talking about it and had presented the DVD to her. And she said that she knew it was wrong, that it felt really wrong, but she didn't know how to address it properly. And I'd never heard of it, and I said, no, I haven't heard of it. And the very next day, another friend called and said, have you heard of The Secret? And I said, no, I haven't heard of The Secret. And same thing happened with her. Some friends got together and presented the DVD, and she knew that it was wrong and was looking for a way to biblically address it. And then a couple days after that, I got an email from one of our leaders here that said, you know, some of the gals in my group are curious about The Secret. And at that point, I realized it's probably a good time to investigate this, see what it has to say, and see what the draw is for women in our culture. Well, ABC's Nightline said that The Secret is no longer a mystery, because at this point, there are 5.5... Whoops. Oh boy, this is what happens when you do a PowerPoint-driven teaching. Okay. God is good. I think I'm okay. Thank you, Kate. At this point, there are 5.5 million copies in print of this book. And this DVD, millions of people worldwide have already viewed this DVD. So this is a huge success in our culture. The author, Rhonda Byrne, has been hailed by Time 100 as one of the top 100 people who's been influential in positively affecting our world. Now, why is this so popular? What is the big draw about this thing, The Secret? Well, Rhonda says in her introduction, as you travel through its pages, you will come to know you can have, be, or do anything you want. Did you catch that? If you read this book or watch this movie, you can have, you can be, or you can do anything that you want. That is a huge claim. And when you add to that wonderful claim things like amazing graphics, great marketing and packaging, cutting-edge visuals, a wonderful DVD presentation, this thing has become a sweeping success, so much so that it's been widely acclaimed by people such as Oprah Winfrey and Larry King. In fact, Oprah said herself that she's used these principles all her life and wholeheartedly agrees with them. So what I'd like to do first is play the first couple minutes of this DVD. And the reason for that is I'd like you to see two things. I'd like you to see the clever packaging that it comes in and the huge draw that it's going to have to the women around us. And I'd also like you to see, just in the very beginning, the basic claims that this thing makes. So let's watch the first few minutes of it, and then we'll discuss it.
A year ago, my life had collapsed around me. I'd worked myself into exhaustion. My father died suddenly, and my relationships were in turmoil. Little did I know at the time, out of my greatest despair was to come the greatest gift. I'd been given a glimpse of a great secret. I began tracing the secret back through history. Thank you. couldn't believe all the people who knew this. They were the greatest people in history. All I wanted to do was share the secret with the world. I began searching for people alive today who know the secret. One by one, they began to emerge.
Do you know this secret gives you everything you want? Happiness, health, and wealth.
You can have, do, or be anything you want.
We can have whatever it is that we choose. I don't care how big it is.
What kind of a house do you want to live in?
Do you want to be a millionaire?
What kind of a business do you want to have?
Do you want more success?
What do you really want?
I've seen many miracles take place in people's lives. Financial miracles, miracles of physical healing, mental healing, healing in relationships.
All of this happened because of knowing how to apply the secret.
This is the great secret of life.
You've probably been sitting there wondering, what is the secret? I'll tell you how I have come to understand it. We all work with one infinite power. We all guide ourselves by exactly the same laws. The natural laws of the universe are so precise that we don't even have any difficulty building spaceships. We can send people to the moon, and we can time the landing with the precision of a fraction of a second. I don't care if you're an Indian, if you're in Australia, New Zealand, Stockholm, or London, or Toronto, or Montreal, or New York. We're all working with one power, one law. It's attraction. The secret is the law of attraction. Everything that's coming into your life, you are attracting into your life. And it's attracted to you by virtue of the images you're holding in your mind. It's what you're thinking. You see, whatever is going on in your mind, you're attracting to you. Now, wise people have always known that. You can go right back to the ancient Babylonians. They've always known this. It's a small, select group of people. Why do you think that 1% of the population earns around 96% of all the money that's being earned? Do you think that's an accident? It's no accident. It's designed that way. They understand something. They understand the secret. And you are being introduced to the secret.
The simplest way for me to look at the law of attraction is if I think of myself as a magnet, and I know that a magnet will attract to it.
Very basically put, the law of attraction says that like attracts like, but we're really talking at a level of thought.
Our job as humans is to hold on to the thoughts of what we want, make it absolutely clear in our minds what we want, and from that we start to invoke one of the greatest laws in the universe, and that's the law of attraction. You become what you think about most, but you also attract what you think about most.
If you see it in here, you're going to hold it here.
And that principle can be summed up in three simple words. Thoughts become things.
What most people don't understand is a thought has a frequency. Every thought has a frequency. We can measure a thought. And so if you're thinking that thought over and over and over again, or if you're imagining in your mind, okay, having that brand new car, having the money that you need, building that company, finding your soulmate, if you imagine what that looks like, you're emitting that frequency on a consistent basis.
Thoughts are sending out that magnetic signal that is drawing the parallel back to you.
See yourself living in abundance, and you will attract it. It always works. It works every time with every person.
Here's the problem. Most people are thinking about what they don't want, and they're wondering why it shows up over and over and over again.
The law of attraction doesn't care whether you perceive something to be good or bad, or whether you don't want it or whether you do want it. It's responding to your thoughts. So if you're sitting there looking at a mountain of debt, feeling terrible about it, that's the signal you're putting out to the universe. Wow, I feel really bad because of all this debt I've got. You're just affirming it to yourself. You feel it on every level of your being. That's what you're going to get more of.
The law of attraction is really obedient. When you think of the things that you want and you focus on them with all of your intention, the law of attraction will give you what you want every time. When you focus on the things that you don't want, I don't want to be late, I don't want to be late, you really are calling that into existence. The law of attraction doesn't hear that you don't want it, and so it's going to show up over and over and over again. The law of attraction is not biased to wants or don't wants. It manifests the things that you think you want.
The law of attraction is always working. Whether you believe it or understand it or not, it's always working.
It's working as much as you're thinking. Anytime your thoughts are flowing, the law of attraction is operational. When you're thinking about the past, present, or the future, the law of attraction is working. It's an ongoing process. You don't press pause, you don't press stop. It is forever in action, as your thoughts are.
Okay, so that's an introduction to the DVD there, and you can see the very powerful claims that are being made and the compelling visuals and videos and sounds that makes you feel kind of nervous, like you need to figure out what this thing is. Now, according to The Secret, you saw in the beginning the author, Rhonda Byrne, and then the different guest speakers that were there. And that's the way that the book is designed also. There's Rhonda's running commentary, and then there's different clips from all these different people. Remember when she was looking on the internet and she said that she drew the people to her that were alive today that believed in this? Well, those are the people that have contributed to the book. So as you go through the book, you'll read the different things from these contributing authors, and then you'll read mostly what she's written and what she's written about it. And as The Secret said, the law of attraction is a law of nature that's overriding and governing everything. According to Bob Proctor on page 4, everything. Now, we got to think about this. Every single thing that's coming into your life, you're attracting into your life. So you're responsible for everything. And it's attracted to you by virtue of the images you're holding in your mind. It's what you're thinking. Whatever is going on in your mind, you are attracting to you. And that is the law of attraction. Now, you might be thinking, and, you know, don't feel bad if you're thinking this, but you might be really thinking, well, really, what's wrong with that? I mean, is that so bad? Isn't this just saying that we can think positively? And if we think positively about things, positive things are going to happen? I mean, are you saying that it's wrong to think positively? No, I'm not saying that it's wrong to think positively at all, if your positive thinking is consistent with truth. But when your positive thinking begins to violate reality and truth and biblical law and biblical principle, then I would say, no, you cannot hold those positive thoughts anymore. And especially when your thinking is contradictory to what God said, then God has a problem with your thinking. And us as believing Christians need to have a problem with that too. So there's nothing wrong with positive thinking as long as our positive thinking is consistent with reality and with what the Bible says. Now, what I'd like to do is compare what The Secret says to what the Bible says. And the reason why is if you read this or you watch the DVD, it kind of takes you through a roller coaster. You'll read things and you'll think, well, that seems right, and then that seems wrong, and, well, I'm not sure about that. And that seems right, and that seems wrong, and I'm not sure about that. And it's kind of an up and down thing, and you can't really get a firm grasp on what it is that's actually wrong with this. So having read through this and taken notes on it, I've kind of put the subjects that they're addressing into different categories so that we can look at what are they saying on each one of these categories, and then what does the Bible say about that category? And I've put it in a way that hopefully you'll be able to remember so that you can communicate it to other people. So let's start by looking at self. And this is in our chart. Okay, what does the secret have to say about self? Because it says a lot about you. It's continually talking about you, and we're going to call that self. In fact, in some places, they even capitalize the word you so that you can understand what they're trying to say here. According to the secret, you are the one who calls the law of attraction into action, and you do it through your thoughts. Your thoughts become things. The law responds to your thoughts no matter what they may be. It also says, you are a human transmission tower, and you are more powerful than any television tower created on Earth. You are the most powerful transmission tower in the universe. Your transmission creates your life, and it creates the world. The frequency you transmit reaches beyond cities, beyond countries, beyond the world. It reverberates through the entire universe. And you are transmitting that frequency with your thoughts. In another place, it says your thoughts create the frequency. They attract like things on that frequency, and then they are broadcast back to you as your life pictures. If you want to change anything in your life, change the channel and change the frequency by changing your thoughts. It also says later, so we are the creators, not only of our own destiny, but ultimately, we are the creator of universal destiny. We are the creators of the universe. And then it goes on to say later, we often get distracted with this thing called our body and our physical being. That just holds your spirit. And your spirit is so big it fills a room. You are eternal life. You are God manifested in human form, made to perfection. And then it says, you are God in a physical body. It also goes on to say, well, now you know you are the supreme mind and that you can draw anything you want for that supreme mind. And it says, the earth turns on its orbit for you. The oceans ebb and flow for you. The birds sing for you. Every beautiful thing you see, every wondrous thing you experience is all there for you. Take a look around. None of it can exist without you. So according to the secret, let's fill in our first box on the chart. The secret says about self or about you, you are the creator of the universe. You are God in a physical body. Nothing can exist without you. Those are some pretty huge claims. And even if we stopped right there, I would say, well, if that was true, no wonder I can have, do, or be anything I want if I am God in a physical body. But we know that the Bible completely contradicts this. And just for reference, let's look at what the Bible says. The Bible tells us in Genesis 1:27 that God created man in his image. It also tells us in Psalm 103, 14 through 16, he knows how we are formed. He remembers that we are dust. As for man, his days are like grass. He flourishes like a flower in the field. The wind blows over it and it's gone, and its place remembers it no more. Complete contrast from the one that everything exists for and would not exist without. God also tells us in Romans 3:23 that every one of us has sinned and we have fallen short of his glory. And in Hebrews 9:27, we are destined to die once and face judgment. Very different picture of self than the picture that's presented to us in the secret. And though it might not be as pleasant sounding, it's a lot more consistent with reality, and it's also what the Bible teaches. So on the chart, let's fill in what the Bible says about self, about us. The Bible says that you were created by God. You are dust, You will die and face judgment. Huge contrast there between the two. One says you're the creator of the universe. The other one says that you were created by God. One says nothing can exist without you. The other one says you're dust. You're going to die and you're going to face God's judgment. Well, let's look at what the secret says about what I call the eternal one. And they don't define God the way that we would define God. So let's call it the eternal one. This is interesting, the things that they bring up about God. According to the secret, Aladdin, who would be us, is the one who always asks for what he wants. Then you've got the universe at large, which is the genie. Traditions have called it so many things. Your holy guardian angel, your higher self. We can put any label on it we want. And you choose the one that works best for you. But every tradition has told us there's something bigger than us. And the genie always says one thing. Your wish is my command. The genie is the law of attraction. And it is always present and always listening to everything you think, speak, and act. The genie assumes that everything you think about, you want. That everything you speak about, you want. You are the master of the universe. And the genie is there to serve you. The genie never questions your commands. You think it, and the genie immediately begins to leverage the universe through people, circumstances, and events to fulfill your wish. Well, also the secret says in another place, what we know about energy is this. If you go to a quantum physicist and say, what creates the world? He or she will say, energy. We'll describe energy. Okay, it can never be created or destroyed. It always was, always has been. Everything that ever existed always exists. It's moving into form, through form, and out of form. You go to a theologian and ask the same question. What created the universe? And he or she will say, God. Okay, describe God. Always was, always has been, never can be created or destroyed. All that ever was, always will be, always moving into form, through form and out of form. You see, it's the same description, just different terminology. The secret also tells us the true supply is the invisible field. Whether you call that the universe, the supreme mind, God, infinite intelligence, or whatever else. You can call it whatever you want to call it. That's all up to you. So according to the secret on your chart, the eternal one, God, is a genie. Energy, or whatever you want him to be. As long as you don't forget that your wish is his command. Now we know the Bible portrays a very different picture of God than that. Well, let's look at one passage from the Bible where Paul, speaking to the Athenians, who had no real knowledge of who God was, kind of laid out a picture of God. He said in Acts 17:24, the God who made the world and everything in it is the Lord of heaven and earth and does not live in temples built by hands. And he is not served by human hands as if he needed anything, because he himself gives all men life and breath and everything else. From one man he made every nation of men that they should inhabit the whole earth, and he determined the time set for them and the exact places where they should live. God did this so that men would seek him and perhaps reach out for him and find him, though he is not far from each one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being. As some of your own poets have said, we are his offspring. Therefore, since we are God's offspring, we should not think that the divine being is like gold or silver or stone or a genie, we could add, all image made by man's design and skill. In the past, God look such ignorance, but now he commands all people everywhere to repent. For he has set a day when he will judge the world with justice by the man he has appointed. He has given proof of all of this to all men by raising him from the dead. Huge contrast there. So let's fill in our chart what the Bible says about the Eternal One. God, we call him, is the Creator. He needs nothing, and he will judge the world. He's the Creator. He doesn't need us. He doesn't respond to us as a genie, and he will judge the world. He will hold us accountable for what we do. Well, another thing that The Secret addresses is what happens to you. And I'm going to call that circumstances. And it has some interesting things to say about circumstances or what happens to us. According to The Secret, and they take this all the way across, unashamed to take this absolutely across to its logical conclusion. They say everything that surrounds you right now in your life, including the things you're complaining about, you've attracted. Now, I know at first blush that's going to be something that you hate to hear. You're going to immediately say, I didn't attract the car accident. I didn't attract this particular client who gives me a hard time. I didn't particularly attract the debt. And we could go on and add more things to that list. And I'm here to be a little bit in your face and say, yes, you did attract it. This is one of the hardest concepts to get. But once you've accepted it, it's life transforming, according to The Secret. Now, they go on. Often when people first hear this part of The Secret, they recall events in history where masses of lives were lost. Let's think of Hurricane Katrina or the Holocaust. Let's recall what they're referring to here, taking it logically across to its conclusion, events in history where masses of lives were lost. And they find it incomprehensible that so many people could have attracted themselves to an event. By the law of attraction, they had to be on the same frequency as that event. It doesn't necessarily mean that they thought of that exact event, but the frequency of their thoughts matched the frequency of the event. If people believe they can be in the wrong place at the wrong time, and they have no control over outside circumstances, those thoughts of fear, separation, and powerlessness, if persistent, can attract them to being in the wrong place at the wrong time. So all those Jews in Nazi Germany had those feelings of powerlessness, fear, and separation, and they just attracted that event to themselves. And you might say, well, the authors of this book would never make a claim like that. But that's wrong. The man who made this claim, Joe Vitale, was on Nightline, and he was interviewed by a gal, and she said, so are you meaning to say that right now in the country of Darfur, there are kids that are being tortured, that are starving, that they've attracted that to themselves? And he said, yeah. I have the transcript of that if you want to see it. The Secret goes on to say, nothing can come into your experience unless you summon it through persistent thoughts. It also says, if something came to you, you drew it. I don't care what it was, you drew it with prolonged thought. And add to that, you cannot be harmed, and in your mind, think of all the ways that we can be harmed. You cannot be harmed unless you call harm into existence by emitting those negative thoughts and feelings. You have been given free will to choose, but when you think negative thoughts and have negative feelings, you are separating yourself from the one and all good. It's your fault. Why do we have courts of law? So according to The Secret, when we look at circumstances or what happens to us, you are in control of all circumstances. And that is literally all circumstances. Well, we know the Bible says something very different than that. If we look at Psalm 139, verses 13 through 16, David saying there about God, for you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you. because I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. Wow, that's a pretty different picture of who's in charge. And Psalm 115:3 says, our God is in heaven. He does whatever he pleases. So if you want to just fill in circumstances on your chart, as far as the Bible says, God is in control of all circumstances. The secret says that we are via our thoughts. The Bible says that God is in control of all circumstances. Now, the next thing that I'd like to look at is what we'll call relationships, because there's a lot woven through this book that talks about you and your relationships with other people. So let's call it relationships. What does the secret have to say about relationships? Well, let's see if you pick up on a little spin on this. Do you treat yourself the way you would want other people to treat you? That's a little different. Now listen to this. Later it says, many people have sacrificed themselves for others, thinking when they sacrifice themselves, they are being a good person. Wrong. To sacrifice yourself can only come from thoughts of absolute lack. Because it's saying there's not enough for everyone, so I will go without. Those feelings don't feel good, and it will eventually lead to resentment. There is abundance for everybody, and it's each person's responsibility to summon their own desires. You can't summon for another person because you can't think or feel for another. Your job is you. Okay. Also, the secret says, it took me a lot of years for me to get this point because I grew up very much with this idea that there was something I was supposed to do. And if I wasn't doing it, God wouldn't be happy with me. When I really understood that my primary aim was to feel and experience joy, then I began to do only the things which brought me joy. I have a saying, if it ain't fun, don't do it. And the secret says, many of us were taught to put ourselves last. And as a consequence, we attracted feelings of being unworthy or undeserving. As those feelings lodged within us, we continued to attract more life situations that had us feel more unworthy and not enough. You must change that thinking. Okay. In another place, the secret goes on to say, undoubtedly to some, the idea of giving so much love to self will seem very cold, hard, and unmerciful. Still, this matter may be seen in a different light when we find that looking out for number one, as directed by the infinite, is really looking out for number two, and it is indeed the only way to permanently benefit number two. Okay. It says in another place, therefore, it is imperative that you tend to you first. Attend to your joy first. People are responsible for their own joy. And then it goes on to say, there's something so magnificent about you. I've been studying me for 44 years. I want to kiss myself sometimes. Okay. So, according to the secret, let's put in our chart, you're number one. Please love yourself. And if at all possible, kiss yourself. Okay, well, we know the Bible has a very different light on relationships and shows us that God views things in a very different way. 1 John 3:16 and 17 is a great example here. This is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers. Really, we owe it to lay down our lives for our brothers. If anyone has material possessions and sees his brother in need but has no pity on him, He's responsible for his own joy, right? How can the love of God be in him? No, it just doesn't work. And also, we all have heard again and again and again Jesus' summary of the entire law, Matthew 22:35-40. Jesus said, love the Lord your God with all of your heart, soul, and mind. That's the first and number one commandment. And the second, love your neighbor as yourself. Love your neighbor as yourself. Well, we started out in the secret with make sure that you're loving yourself the way that you want others to love you. So let's fill in our chart. As far as relationships go, the Bible says that we need to love God and love others. Complete contrast from the teaching of our popular book. Now, an interesting topic that's brought up quite a bit in The Secret is eating and health. They put a lot of emphasis on eating, health, disease, even aging, we'll see. Now, according to The Secret, and this gets very interesting, weight is a big thing that we need to be concerned with. Now, to put it in the most basic terms, according to The Secret, if someone's overweight, it came from thinking fat thoughts, whether that person was aware of it or not. A person cannot think thin thoughts and be fat. It completely defies the law of attraction. I agree. Whether people have been told they have a slow thyroid, a slow metabolism, or their body size is hereditary, these are all disguises for fat thoughts. The Secret goes on. The most common thought that people hold, and I held it too, the author said, is that food was responsible for my weight gain. That belief does not serve you. And in my mind now is complete balderdash. Food is not responsible for putting on weight. It is your thought that food is responsible for putting on weight that actually has food put on weight. Okay? Food cannot cause you to put on weight unless you think it can. Okay. So, application of that, they say later, make it your intention to look for, admire, and inwardly praise people with your idea of perfect weight bodies. Seek them out as you admire them and feel the feelings of that. You're summoning it to you. Oh, if you see people that are overweight, don't observe them. But immediately switch your mind to the picture of you in your perfect body and feel it. Okay. What does The Secret have to say about disease? And I'm talking disease, physical disease, even physical diseases that we're born with. The question frequently asked is, when a person has manifested a disease in the body temple or some kind of discomfort in their life, can it be turned around through the power of right thinking? And the answer is absolutely yes. Because disease cannot live in a body that is in a healthy emotional state. So if anybody has a disease in their body, any kind of disease, they're just not in a good emotional place. It goes on to say, in another place, illness cannot exist in a body that has harmonious thoughts. Just can't exist there. No, there is only perfection. And as you observe perfection, you must summon that to you. Imperfect thoughts are the cause of all humanity's ills, including disease, poverty, and unhappiness. If you are feeling a little bit unwell, let's say you're sick or there's something wrong with you, don't talk about it unless you want more of it. Know that your thought was responsible and repeat as often as you can, I feel wonderful. I feel so good. And really feel it. If you're not feeling great and somebody asks you how you're feeling, just be grateful that that person has reminded you to think thoughts of feeling well. Speak only the words of what you want. Okay. Because You cannot catch anything unless you think you can. And thinking you can is inviting it to you with your thought. You are also inviting illness if you're listening to people talk about their illness. Shouldn't do that. As you listen, you are giving all of your thought and focus to illness. And when you give all of your thought to something, you are asking for it. The author says, I believe and know that nothing is incurable. At some point in time, every so-called incurable disease has been cured. In my mind and in the world I create, incurable does not exist. Okay. Now, the secret goes on and carries that across even into aging and the aging process, which is very interesting. According to the secret, you can see that beliefs about aging are all in your minds. You're absolutely imagining it. So, in order to get your mind to think right, this is what you can do. For your next birthday, do yourself a favor and celebrate it as if it were your first birthday. Don't cover your cake with 60 candles unless you want to summon aging to you. Unfortunately, Western society has become fixated on age, and in reality, there is no such thing. Okay? Beliefs about aging are all in our minds, so release those thoughts from your consciousness. Because the secret says you can think your way to the perfect state of health, the perfect body, the perfect weight, and eternal youth. You can bring it into being through your consistent thinking of perfection. Okay, so we can fill in our chart according to the secret concerning eating, health, and aging too. Extra weight, disease, and aging are all the results of your thoughts. It's all due to your thoughts. Well, I wonder if the Bible looks at that a little differently. I think concerning weight, we can find a great principle in Galatians 6:7. Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. If I'm going to eat a six-pack of brownies, it's going to show up on me tomorrow, whether I think positive thoughts or not, or if I overlook overweight people. Disease, according to the Bible, very different approach. Exodus 4:11 says, the Lord God said to him, speaking to Moses, who gave man his mouth? Who makes him deaf or mute? Who gives him sight or makes him blind? Is it not I, the Lord? Wow, you're saying God's in control? That's what the Bible says. And what about aging? Does the Bible bring up any concept of this thing called aging? Well, Moses in Psalm 90, verses 10 through 12 says, the length of our days is 70 years, or 80 if we have strength. Yet their span is but trouble and sorrow, for they quickly pass and we fly away. He says at the end there, teach us to number our days aright that we may gain a heart of wisdom. Yes, according to the Bible, we do age. And we would be wise to recognize that and to respond properly. So, on your chart, the Bible says concerning eating and health, God's wisdom governs our health. It is God's wisdom, His strength, His wisdom, His decrees, His laws that govern our health. Now, the last thing for you to put on your chart as far as what the secret addresses would be things. Things. They talk a lot about things. This is a big one for the promoters of the secret. It's all about stuff or things. And according to the secret, to attract money, you must focus on wealth. Because, and think this through, the only reason any person, that's anyone, anywhere in the world, does not have enough money is because they are blocking money from coming to them with their thoughts. Remember how I had said in that Nightline interview, the lady that was interviewing Joe Vitale had asked him about the disease and the oppression of those kids in Darfur. And he went on to say that if they were taught to think right, they would have all the money that they needed. And that he was qualified to teach them to think right. Okay, the secret says, every time you look inside your mail expecting to see a bill, guess what? It'll be there. Each day you go out dreading the bill. You're never expecting anything great. You're thinking debt. You're expecting debt. So debt must show up so you won't think you're crazy. And every day you confirm your thought. Is debt going to be there? Yes, debt is there. Is debt going to be there? Yes, debt is there. Is debt going to be there? Yes, debt is there. Why? Not because you spent too much, but because you expected debt to be there. So it showed up. Because the law of attraction is always being obedient to your thoughts. Do yourself a favor. Expect a check. So I thought, one of our authors put this into practice and talks about it later in the book, what if I just visualized checks coming in the mail? So I just visualized a bunch of checks coming in the mail. Within just 1 month, things started to change. It's amazing. Today, I just get checks in the mail. I get a few bills, but I get more checks than bills. Okay. If you have held thoughts in the past that the only ways money can come to you is through your job, then let that go immediately. Such thoughts do not serve you. Why work for money? Just think about it. Okay, and they go on to say, if the words, I can't afford it, have passed your lips, your power to change that is now. Change it with, I can afford that. I can buy that. Say it over and over. Become like a parrot. For the next 30 days, make it your intention that you're going to look at everything you like and say to yourself, I can afford that. I can buy that. As you see your dream car drive past, say, I can afford that. As you see clothes you love, and as you think about a great vacation, say, I can afford that. As you do think, you'll begin to shift yourself and you'll begin to feel better about money. You will begin to convince yourself that you can afford these things. And as you do, the pictures of your life will change. Now, in another place, one of the authors says, you know, I meet a lot of people who are spiritual, but they're sick and broke all the time. That's not wealth. Life is meant to be abundant in all areas. If you've been brought up to believe that being wealthy is not spiritual, then I highly recommend you read the Millionaires of the Bible series by Catherine Ponder. Because in these glorious books, you will discover that Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, Moses, and Jesus were not only prosperity teachers, but also millionaires themselves, with more affluent lifestyles than many present-day millionaires could ever conceive of. Poor Jesus. Why did he say he had nowhere to lay his head? He could have gone home to his mansion. The secret says you deserve every good thing you want, and the universe will give you every good thing you want, but you have to summon it into your life. So, on our chart, according to the secret, concerning things, the secret says, and it's not showing up on the PowerPoint, is it? Okay, the secret says you deserve everything. You deserve everything. It's all about you. What does the Bible say? Hebrews 13:5. The author says, keep your lives free from the love of money and be content with what you have, because God has said, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. And Paul in 1 Timothy said, 1 Timothy 6:7 through 10, we brought nothing into this world and we can take nothing out of it. But if we have food and clothing, we will be content with that. People who want to get rich fall into temptation and a trap and into many foolish and harmful desires that plunge men into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. Some people eager for money have wandered from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs. Jesus said concerning things in Matthew 6:19-21, do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moth and rust do not destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. Why? Because where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And he said in Luke 12:15 some very powerful words. He said to them, watch out, watch out. Be on your guard against all kinds of greed. A man's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions. Don't be greedy. Very different message than what The Secret's presenting to our culture. So on your chart, according to the Bible, concerning things, you are to be free from the love of things and content with God. And I'll say that again since it's not showing up. You are to be free from the love of things and content with God. Very different picture. Now, if you want to pop to the next slide, Marcy, the reason that I chose to label these six subjects as these six is if you can see, as you go down, it spells out secret here, S-E-C-R-E-T, so that you can remember those easily. Self, eternal one, circumstances, relationships, eating and health, and things. Those are the six main topics. As you filter through these things, we can really consolidate it to those things. And with that acronym, I hope that you can remember this and repeat it to others and even use it for yourself. And as if we look through what The Secret says about each thing on our chart, we're going to see you, 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 your, you. You, 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 you. Okay. The Bible says, on the other hand, if you want to pop to the next slide, God, 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 God. Wow. Total contrast. So really, it may not be what we want to hear, but it's true. And it's consistent with reality. If we look at the chart there on what the Bible says, that is what we see when we look at reality. And when we add to that, that is what God has disclosed to us through His Word, not this book or any other book, but His Word that He wrote, we will see that that is the only thing that's consistent with reality as truth and with God's Word as truth. It's all about God from start to finish. And you know what? Sometimes we don't want to hear that. And that's one of the reasons why this is so successful, because we get tired of hearing that. God, 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 God. It's all about God, right? But that's reality. That is reality. We have a very good friend that's a painter that came over the other day, and we had done some kitchen remodeling and then kind of taken a break from it before we finished everything. And he came over to look at some of the things that we needed to clean up, and he told me, your front door is water damaged. And what happened is we had a front door that we put on one with the Dutch doors, and we liked it a lot, and some carpenter spent forever getting it to fit in our door frame. But we didn't get any primer or paint put on it, and our friend told us it's been water damaged, and it's not a paint-grade wood. It's a stain-grade wood, so you're going to have to bleach it or completely sand it. And I'm thinking, I don't want to hear this. I don't want to hear this. Seriously, don't tell me about the door. But you know what? That's reality. And even though we don't want to hear these things and we get tired of these things, we have to say, what is reality? What is true? And no matter how good this may sound, if it's not true, it ain't true. And we can't buy into it because we are going to believe what's true. And what the Bible teaches is consistent with reality and what's true. So if you want to boil this all down to two basic principles, The Secret says that God serves you. And the Bible says that you serve God. That is the bottom line contrast when you see everything focusing on you versus everything focusing on God. One says that God exists for your pleasure, and he is there as your genie, your universe, whatever it may be, to serve you. And the other one says that you have been created by him, you are a creature, and you are here to serve him. That is the bottom line, and that is consistent with truth. With truth as far as reality goes, and with biblical truth. Now, you might think, and don't be embarrassed if you're thinking this, because a very good friend of mine who's very godly said that she was tempted to think this. Can't I be a Christian and just kind of pick and choose which parts of the secret work for me? I mean, what if I just call it God, or I call it Jesus, and I just really begin to think positively? Can't I do that? I mean, is that really wrong? Watching that DVD, I'm a little tempted to see if I just think check. Is a check going to appear in my mail? The answer is no. No, you cannot, as a Christian, do that. The second point for you to fill out, and I think I never mentioned the first point, did I? Okay. The first point was understand the foundational claims that the secret makes. Understand the fundamental claims of the secret. That's what it was. Understand the fundamental claims of the secret. Okay. Second point is know that Christianity cannot mix with the secret. Cannot mix with the secret. And just doing a little research on the internet, I found people all over saying that they were mixing the teachings of the secret with what they believe to be biblical Christianity. Even on the Yahoo questions, one girl said, well, I just pull all the stuff that I like about it and I apply it to Jesus. And even a gal I talked to last night said a Christian gave her the DVD and said, I know this is going to seem weird, but just think God or think Jesus and you'll be okay. So can you call that eternal one that the secret calls the eternal one or the universe, can you call it God and Jesus and apply those principles as a Christian? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. Because when we start doing that, we are creating a God in our own image. The Bible says that we shall have no other gods before him. And when we start saying, my God, or the God I worship, or the God I believe, and we start to add to or take from what the Bible says, we have at that point created God in our own image, and we are worshiping a false God, whether we like it or not. We need to be careful of that. When we say things like, well, I think God is like blank, and it's not consistent with what the Bible says, we've just set up our own God in our own mind. And that is not worshiping the God of the Bible. But you know what? The secret makes an attempt to mix Christianity into it so that we could be deceived or we could be confused. In fact, the secret says the creative process used in the secret, which was taken from the New Testament in the Bible, is an easy guideline for you to create what you want in three simple steps. So they claim that these three simple steps were taken from the Bible. And to the non-discerning Christian, it could appear to be so. The first step, they say, that they got from the New Testament is ask. Make a command to the universe. Let the universe know what you want. The universe responds to your thoughts. And again, they're saying that they got this from the Bible. It's exactly like placing an order from a catalog. That's how you dress the universe. The next step, they say, they got from the Bible is believe. And listen to this. Listen how scary this gets. Believe that it's already yours. Have what I love to call unwavering faith. Believing in the unseen. It says you must have complete and utter faith. That is complete and utter faith in something other than the God of the Bible revealed in his fullness from cover to cover. If you had placed an order from a catalog, you would relax. Know you're going to receive what you ordered and get on with your life. Trust the universe. trust and believe and have faith. And they're saying that they got that from the New Testament. Step three, their final step, which they got from the New Testament. Receive. Begin to feel wonderful about it. Feel the way you will feel once it arrives. Feel it now. And then they add two verses on as a tagline at the bottom of that. Whatever you ask in prayer, believe ye shall receive. They use the RSV and then the KJV. Whatever things so ye desire when ye pray, believe you receive them, should say, and you shall have them. Okay. Makes it confusing for the non-discerning Christian or for the non-Christian that thinks that these principles are extracted from the Bible. Well, Jesus says something very different than this. In Matthew 6:24, he says, no one, nobody, none of us can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. And that word for money there is mammon. It's an Aramaic word that was transliterated into the Greek. And it's a very derogatory term. It means property, wealth, earthly goods, things, image of yourself. All the things that the secret is teaching us to go for. Jesus is saying, no way. You cannot serve God and serve these things at the same time. You can't put your trust in God and cling to or put your trust in anything else, including the power of your positive thinking. The minute that you put your trust in the power of your positive thinking, you have shifted your trust from God to yourself, and you have set up an idol. The secret says, how do you get yourself to a point of believing? Start make-believing. Be like a child and make-believe. Act as if you already have it. As you make believe, you will begin to believe you have received. The genie is responding to your predominant thoughts all the time, not just in the moment you ask. That is why, after you've asked, you must continue to believe and know. Have faith. Have faith in something other than the God of the Bible. To have faith, again, in anything other than God, the way that he's been revealed in the scriptures, is to be worshiping an idol or setting up an idol. It is nothing short of idolatry. And again, be careful. Listen to what others say and to what you say. Because when we start saying, well, my God, or the way I view God, or the God I think of, we are creating a God that makes sense to us rather than putting our confidence and our trust and our faith in the God of the Bible. And that is nothing short than idolatry. And God hates idolatry. He hates it, especially in those that claim to be his people. Ezekiel 14, verses 1 through 8 is an interesting passage. You might want to write the reference down and look it up later. But Ezekiel, being the prophet of God, and the elders of Israel, the people that should have been the people of God, came to Ezekiel to get a message from God. They wanted to know how long were they going to be in exile. The passage says, some of the elders of Israel came to me and sat down in front of me. Then the word of the Lord came to me. So these people were going to seek God and seek a message from God through the prophet Ezekiel. Son of man, these men have set up idols in their hearts and put wicked stumbling blocks before their faces. So they had the nerve to come to God and approach God and to ask for wisdom from God when they had set up idols in their hearts. In their hearts, God saw that in their hearts they had competing affections. They had created idols. And again, this is what God sees. God says, should I let them inquire of me at all? Do I need to respond to these people at all who have created these idols, set up these gods in their own heart? Therefore, speak to them and tell them, this is what the sovereign Lord says. When any Israelite sets up idols in his heart and puts a wicked stumbling block before his face and then goes to a prophet, I, the Lord, will answer him myself in keeping with his great idolatry. I will do this to recapture the hearts of the people of Israel who have all deserted me for their idols. So God is saying, you know what? Instead of what they want, I am going to respond to them with what they need. Therefore, say to the house of Israel, this is what the sovereign Lord says. Not addressing how long you're going to be in exile, but repent. Repent and turn from your idols and renounce your detestable practices. When any Israelite or alien living in Israel separates himself from me and sets up idols in his heart, remember, not statues in the house, but idols in his heart where God can see, and puts a wicked stumbling block before his face and then goes to a prophet to inquire of me, I, the Lord, will answer him myself. I will set my face against that man and make him an example and a byword. I will cut him off from my people. Then you will know that I am the Lord. That passage is very clear. God does not tolerate idolatry in our heart. If we are living for things and the passion for things and a greed for things, God does not tolerate that. If our focus in life is going to be on the perfect body or never aging or constantly being free of sickness and disease, we have created an idol in our heart, and God does not tolerate that. If we're going to have an attitude of looking out for number one and being concerned continually with our own joy, or trying to make sure that our circumstances are always ordered, that no bad things happen to us, we have set up idols in our heart. And if we in any way think that God is going to bow to that thinking, we are completely wrong, and we have set up idols in our heart. Those things can completely separate us from God. And you know what? God knows our heart. And I sometimes shudder when I hear people say flippantly, well, God knows my heart. That frightens me. God knows my heart. God knows my heart, my wicked heart. And that should drive me to Jesus Christ and to the cross. Because God knows that my heart is continually creating idols before him. And I need to turn to the cross and repent of my idolatry. God does not tolerate mixing, thinking of things like the secret with biblical Christianity, because God does not serve us, we serve him. And those are polar opposites, and the two will not go together. It is absolutely absurd for any of us to try to commingle this kind of thinking with biblical Christianity. Well, you might be thinking, you know what, none of this applies to me. I would never be interested in a book like this or a DVD like that. And I also think it's absurd to try to commingle this kind of thinking. But what I would say to you, or I would challenge you with, is please, please begin to care about the people that are following this. 5.5 million people buying this book. Remember what Jesus said, Matthew 9:35-38, as he went through all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and sickness. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them. He would have compassion on these women that are buying this, and the men that are buying this and reading through this and trying to find some sort of meaning or happiness or purpose in life, because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field. Again, 5.5 million copies viewed by millions. You know how hard it was to get this on Monday night? It was sold out everywhere. Sold out everywhere. The harvest is plentiful. There are plenty of people that need to hear and know biblical truth. The third point there is cultivate compassion for those who are drawn to the secret. Ask the Lord to send out workers. Pray that God would send out workers. And go a step further. Pray that God would send us out now that we have this knowledge. Ask that God in the next few weeks or next few months few months would cause people to cross our paths that have interfaced with this, that are reading these things and believing these things and buying into these things. And let's begin to dialogue with them. Let's not set up a supremacist attitude like the Pharisee who would say, thank God that I'm not like that, or I'm not drawn to those things. But let's have compassion on these people and really begin to talk to them. You know, have you heard about the secret? Have you read the secret? Have you interfaced with it at all? I'm learning about it. I learned about it in church. I'd love to talk to you about it. Ask them, have you read it? Why? Why did you read it? Ask them, and then listen to what they say. What are you looking for? Ask them, what are you hoping to find? And listen to their heart. And why are you hoping to find that? What is it that they need? And you know what? With all the wisdom that we've gleaned as Christians and we've got through our study in James this year, God will give us wisdom to respond to them. Just pray that he'd help us to respond properly and really, again, engage with them and take the time to really listen and to keep asking questions. Why do you want that? What do you think will happen if you get money or if you have that relationship or if you get that car? What are you expecting to be fulfilled in your life? And very graciously and respectfully asking them questions and asking them, what is it that you're really looking for? God will give us wisdom. He will, because he has compassion on those people. And as Jesus said, we need workers. He said to his disciples, pray that God would send out workers. That is how God connects with these people. It's through workers, through us. And God is equipping us with this knowledge. All the knowledge that we have through James, all the knowledge that we have through all of the things that we learned is not just knowledge for the sake of knowledge. Knowledge is good. We are to grow in grace and knowledge, the Bible says, but not simply for the sake of knowledge. Knowledge helps us to lead holy lives, and that is awesome. God desires that we all lead holy lives that are free from sin and bondage to sin. But that is not the sole reason for our knowledge. Because if that were true, the moment that we became born again, we would be taken up or translated to the presence of God. But he leaves us down here that we could connect with other people. So we're to grow in knowledge, we're to purify and refine our lives, and then we're to take that knowledge and evangelize. As Paul was writing to Timothy in 2 Timothy, his last letter before he died, he said, do the work of an evangelist. Timothy, do the work of an evangelist. Do the work of an evangelist. And he would say the same thing to us. Let's not get consumed in all the stuff that we can have, but let's take our knowledge and do the work of an evangelist, because there are many people out there that are lost and are sheep without a shepherd. Again, we often think, well, you know, what did I get out of that? Or what did I get out of that teaching? Well, maybe today it's not about what you get out of it for you, but maybe it's what you get out of it for you to be useful for somebody else. So really, that's why I pulled the six different things, the S-E-C-R-E-T, so that we could somewhat remember that, be able to dialogue and discuss that, and really to be able to show people the bottom line is, one is saying that God serves you, and the other is saying that you are serving God, and they are completely different. Maybe God could take something like this and use it for good, by letting us use it for the purpose of evangelism. We are commanded in Ephesians 5 to make the most of every opportunity. That means to take things like this and make the most of it. Let's make the most of it. Let's use this thing. Let's take this as a platform for dialogue and discussion and conversation. And let's bring people to Jesus. Because we have a window of opportunity now. This thing is huge right now, and it's probably going to get bigger over the summer. We have a window of opportunity, and soon that window of opportunity is going to be gone because people are going to go to something else, and then they'll go to something else and something else. The same thing will be repackaged and redisplayed and represented so that somebody else can make a buck. But the same principles are true. These positive thinking teachers, positive thinking books, positive thinking lines of logic always boil down to that same thought, that God, or whatever you want to call him, exists to serve you. And that is not what the Bible teaches. In fact, Joe Vitale, who is one of the Secrets contributors who we quoted from, has just come out with a new DVD called The Missing Secret. And according to him, if you watch this two-set DVD, you can transform and change your life. Same thing, just repackaged. Let's get another dollar in his pocket. Does God serve you, or do you serve God? Well, that's easy. The Bible tells us that we serve God. And Jude tells us that we have the faith that was once for all entrusted to the saints. The Bible doesn't change. It's the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. Praise God for that. Let's pray. God, thank you so much that we meet and fellowship and learn and gather together in a church like this where we have leadership that's supportive of us as women and that wants to equip us to do the work of an evangelist, to engage with our community and our culture, that we aren't boxed in by only being able to seek certain things, Lord, but that we can take the things that the world is throwing at us and hold it up against your word and look at it and see where it falls short again and again and again. God, I thank you that it's very simple, Lord, when we take these concepts and ideas and we hold them up again against your word to see that you are not in this. Lord, for any of us that would like to commingle these teachings, God, please help us to repent. Lord, even if we weren't using the teachings of the secret, but if we become detracted and diverted and become greedy in our hearts, when we start to focus too much on perfect body image or trying to detract from the aging process or seeking number one, anything that would be contrary to your law and your principle, God, help us to repent, Lord. Help us to repent and help us to cling to the cross, God. Lord, please, I pray that we would have compassion on these ladies, on these men, on these people that are following after this, that we wouldn't look down our nose at them in arrogance and mock them, but that we would really have the attitude of Christ and that we would use this information to glorify your kingdom and to lead people to your son. And it's in his name we pray. Amen.